You're listening to the Co-Creator Network. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Welcome to An Invitation to Heal with your host, spiritual teacher and healer, Rodney Jean Jr.
Namaste, blessings, shalom, my beautiful brothers and sisters. I wish you wholeness. This is Rodney Jean Jr., spiritual teacher and healer here in Austin, Texas. And this is an invitation to heal. And I welcome you. You know, this is a short 30-minute program, so we won't have time to take your calls for those of you who are listening. But I promise to get you the information for emailing your questions into my guests. You're really going to enjoy and love this program today. Today's healing topic, intuition, powerful, or the language of intuition, as presented and taught by my guest, is very unique. It's very genuine and a real healing pathway to discover and to connect to your own inner spiritual self and your own abilities to self-heal, which is what this program is about. Again, you're really going to love this idea. Now, intuition medicine is a system. It's a system of an expanded perception of the world, of your life, as it would be. And we expand this perception through the development of the human sense of intuition. And according to our guest, intuition is our first sense. Now, developing our intuition is unique. This includes the development of your awareness, your own personal awareness, developing your sensitivity to your auric field, to the subtle bodies. Now, my guest, Francesca McCartney, is president of Energy Medicine University and the founder of the Academy of Intuition Medicine in Mill Valley, California. She has been working as an intuitive, and that's a big word. That covers a lot of ground. And when you begin to understand the depth of my guest, you realize that it's too small of a word. But she's been working as an intuitive in the medical field for more than 3 decades. She truly is an authority on this particular subject of healing. And through healing, through training, through hands-on therapy, Francesca teaches energetic techniques, both to professional health care practitioners, as well as individuals who are simply seeking to understand themselves to a greater degree, seeking to learn about the subtle bodies, learning to nurture themselves, their spiritual selves. She's the author of the book Body Health, A New Science of Intuition Medicine, and she's on the faculty of the world-renowned Omega Institute. And if you're familiar with Omega Institute, some of the world's greatest teachers, the greatest minds, the most beautiful souls participate in that faculty. She offers healing workshops and classes there at Omega at an international level. And so it really does give me great pleasure to welcome this week's guest, Francesca McCartney. Welcome to An Invitation to Heal, Francesca.
Greetings, Rodney. It's my pleasure to be in conversation with you.
Yeah, see, you are the first guest who I didn't have an opportunity to speak with ahead of time. So it's wonderful to hear your voice and to receive your energy today. Again, thanks for being here.
Thank you. So what would you like to talk about? We have much to talk about.
We really do. And the subject and the width, the breadth that is available with you on the other end is very exciting for me. But I want to begin with the idea of intuition because it is something that you really have anchored into human history at this time. And what is intuition medicine, and how does it help an individual?
Well, I'm going to start first with my description of intuition and then talk about what intuition medicine is.
Great.
So my work, my life has been dedicated to working with people who want to remember, open up, develop their natural human sense of called intuition. Some people call it the sixth sense, which I believe I've observed. I've done a great deal of research on this natural human sense, that it is part of every human being. And for most people in the Western world, it is a sense that is not given very much credence. And therefore, it's like a language that is not spoken in a particular country. It's forgotten. You know, after we're born, if intuition is not spoken in our house, by our family, by our peer group, by our community, it's simply forgotten until one visits that country where that language is spoken again. So my work with intuition is to assist people in remembering, recalling, developing the human ability, and for many people it's a latent human ability, of using their subtle perceptions for both understanding oneself for health benefits, for spiritual evolution, and also to use it in a wider perceptual way to see the world in a different way and to perceive what's going on amongst oneself, other people, the world at large, to include the subtle activities that are always ongoing, but that most people don't pick up, perceive, feel, or sense because they're simply not paying attention to the subtleties.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, even a business meeting, for instance, someone who learns to trust their intuition and know what it feels like, know what the language is to them. That's very powerful. You know, you actually said something right now that that brought up another question, and you said, you know, our natural earthbound abilities. And I've heard you in another interview, and I've read this term, earth energy versus life force energy. Can you describe that?
Yes. In the system that I use to train people to utilize their intuitive sense, I do a large developmental segment on focusing on self-healing. And actually, that's what a lot of my book, Body of Health, is about, how one can learn to self-heal by using particular energies that are available to them. One of them is earth energy, and that's just basically the energy that that Gaia, that the physical earth, is constantly emitting. It's an upward vibration frequency response that is moved from the earth as a whole body, a spirit, a Gaia force, through all living beings on the planet. And that particular frequency and vibration is calming, it's healing, it actually carries positive ions into physical bodies. And so I view that, and I work with that, as a healing medicine. So earth energy is part of the healing medicine that our bodies need. And when a body is disconnected for whatever reasons, there's many, many reasons, from the force of the natural healing energy from the earth, it can contribute to disease.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I've actually experienced individuals, and you probably understand exactly what I'm referring to, who are very connected to source, very connected to their higher faculties, but they aren't anchored in their earth energies, and it really demonstrates an imbalance in their healing abilities and their day-to-day human exchanges, their relationships, the way they interact as a planetary citizen.
Yes, and planetary citizen, that's a good point to make my next observation from what you just said, is that many people, as I've observed them, even as they come into my training, are highly evolved spiritually and in touch with the, as we call them, the higher forces. But because they haven't understood how to bring that higher awareness into their body to get more grounded, more in touch with the earth, they cannot have a large effect on their own bodies, people around them or the world at large, and often are frustrated because of that. Wisdom people that don't, who have not been able to incarnate and ground into the physical reality, their wisdom, and make change with it.
Boy, and Francesca, that just amplifies the importance of the Academy of Intuitive and Intuition Medicine and the work that you provide. And at this time, when people really are beginning to awaken to those realities of needing to take what they know intuitively and anchor them into this earth where they can do some good, where it can really be a positive, beneficial presence and force in this world. So I really am grateful for the opportunity to help spread this energy that you're producing and providing for us.
And it all starts with one person. One, my philosophy is one needs to heal themselves, come into their own wisdom before they can heal anyone else or make any changes that have sustainable effects.
Yeah, that's it. And of course, that is a wise philosophy. And not only is it something I agree with, but it takes a certain level of experience, of personal experience, to anchor oneself and live that, because it's so easy to point out or want to participate in the healing arts and yet not have healed yourself and not really be of service, but rather use the healing arts to heal yourself in the process. It's kind of a tricky roller coaster ride, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, and you know, many of my students, when they come into the Academy program, they understand the importance of all that we're discussing here and their need to heal themselves first. And they get frustrated week after week. I watch them, the beginning students. And the answer to their query is always, or what I ask them is, have you been practicing? And those who are frustrated say, no, I've been thinking about it a lot, but I really haven't been doing the practice.
Yes.
So it's putting into practice what you know, not just intellectualizing it.
Sure. And that's a very beautiful point that you make, because getting an individual to practice becomes the healing point. And interesting here in my own practice, something that I have observed is that if I can get an individual to recognize, they may say to themselves, oh, I'm not even willing to practice yet. I get it. And when I get them to that point, they begin the healing journey, because now they're no longer wondering why their life isn't working out or if there's some capricious force against them, but rather they come to realize they're not even willing to put this into practice yet.
Yeah, I agree. That's the first step, the recognition of. And then to further answer your question that started this conversation, the term intuition medicine is the term that I use to recognize the form of practice and the training from our academy school that students receive and that they're awarded after 2 years of study a diploma in intuition medicine. So it's a copyrighted term to distinguish this this training and this work from many of the other energy medicine modalities that are out there that people can receive training with. And
sure.
I also want to comment that in the state of California, we are the first school, vocational school, to legally be awarded the use of the term intuition medicine as a vocational practice. And
wow.
It may be in the entire United States, I don't know, but our students, once they graduate from the two-year-plus training, have a diploma, have a certificate that's a California legal vocational training certificate and diploma that allows them to legally practice as a medical intuitive. And that's a big deal.
It absolutely is.
That's a bridge that we've built.
Oh, yes. It's a big deal on many different levels. And for those who are listening who are interested in the healing arts, they may understand. And for those who are not in the healing arts, they may not recognize the depth of that decision and that work on your end. But, you know, that brings up something very powerful, and that is where this conversation tends to be going, which is the ethical realities around the healing arts. And to have a school that requires 2 years of training and really in-depth, and I've studied what you have available for the curriculum, and it is beautifully laid out, and I have a lot of training and schooling myself. looking at your curriculum. Anybody interested in the healing arts, this is another school that I would highly recommend. There's only one I've ever recommended up to this point.
Well, thank you, Rodney.
Absolutely. I mean, I could really feel the energy behind it.
Thank you.
You know, something happened here. Something happened last 2 or 3 years ago where an individual was advertising a certain modality from the school that I had attended. And you can only be offering this modality at the third year of training at the doctorate level. And I knew basically everyone who had achieved this level here in Texas. And, you know, I noticed that this was happening more commonly, which was that modalities were being exploited. The idea of healing is being exploited. And not to such a way that is benefiting those, but rather diluting the good that is available when you really understand the subtle bodies. Can you have a whole class, I think, on ethical considerations.
Yes,
can you talk about that?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that. I feel that ethics is extremely, extremely important because there has been so much that has been presented over the past couple of decades that I personally feel is unethical, that is not grounded in reality, and is posing as a pseudo-alternative or a complementary type of healing. And mm-hmm. a large part of my mission is to bridge and to bring into the mainstream how spiritual healing, medical intuition is a valuable part of our society's way to heal themselves right along with allopathic medicine and
sure.
become part of the whole integrative medicine field. Now, our ethics teacher is an attorney, so she has a JD. She also is the first attorney who received a doctorate degree in energy medicine. So she's a JD and a PhD in energy medicine. So who better to talk about ethics in alternative healing and the complementary healing arts than someone who has that kind of background and training?
Yeah,
and then our anatomy teacher is a naturopathic doctor. And then we have a psychology and intuition teacher, and she's a research psychologist at the University of Berkeley. And she's been doing that for probably 25 years.
Powerful. That's exciting. It's exciting to have that type of influence and that type of intent grounded in one focused area. We really are grateful. You know, I wanted to ask you, after more than 30 years of teaching and healing others, Francesca, what have you distilled, if you can, that word, a fundamental, you may have already answered this by saying the person, an individual needs to heal themselves first, but what have you distilled to be a key component or an inner wisdom that we can use to help others begin the healing journey using alternative methods?
Well, I'm going to answer that question by describing what I've observed as a teacher in what blocks a person from reaching that. What is the largest wall for someone to jump over to get to that point? And
yes.
that is believing that the intellectual mind has all the answers, that linear thought is what one needs to follow to receive wisdom. And wisdom has nothing to do with the mental or the linear. So for me as a teacher, to get a student to come into a space where they know, feel, and trust their own inner wisdom, their spiritual wisdom, I need to work them to quiet their mental, to quiet their mind, and also to quiet their emotions and to find a still quiet place. I mean, this is what millennium you've heard and we've read about spiritual teachers saying, quiet your mind and move into a still quiet space. Well, that's really the best medicine that I teach my students, and that once they're in that still quiet, I call it one's inner sanctuary. Finding that inner sanctuary, that's when one's healing can begin and true access to wisdom begins.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, my personal focus now as a healer here in our spiritual community is self-worth, personal mastery, but founded on self-worth. Now, in your experience, how does an idea like self-worth, self-love, affect an individual's ability to connect to their intuition?
I think that's that's another very important self-awareness to be developed, because if there's a lack of self-love, then there is no trust to be present, to listen to sense and feel one's wisdom. So love is the other anchor of the cornerstone of coming into a state of wisdom and self-healing. And again, I have observed that with my students, what deludes one or puts one in a state of forgetting how much they do love themselves is listening too much to the rambling mind and the programming of the emotions that so many people are susceptible to receiving as truth, rather than quieting, coming in, sitting, trusting their own wisdom. And you know, again, as you very well know, it takes practice to get to that point of awareness and self-love.
Oh, yes, and the practice, getting an individual to practice is really the point of focus. And to complement what you said, if you can get an individual to listen to the stillness, and you know, that's an interesting dynamic for the mind to begin to grasp, having them listen to the silence. And when they listen to the silence, well, all hell breaks loose. And when that begins to happen, the process of healing is sped up. But when they're stuck in this cycle of the chatter, that they aren't worthy, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, their ideas of lack and blame and judgment, criticism, anger, jealousy, everything that comes forward when we attempt to quiet our mind.
May I give you an illustrative story that happened last night in our class?
That would be beautiful, yes.
We have a student, and this is a student who's been studying with us weekly for 8 months, who has a very difficult time getting out of what we call her analytical mind. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and she has various things physically and emotionally that are calling attention to be healed, and she knows that. She's very clear about that. And last night we were doing a healing session. We usually do small tutorial groups with faculty leading the beginning students. And she was the practice client. And at the end of the session, we have a debriefing. And usually the student who is the client writes down notes so that she can report back to the group what she experienced. Well, her report was blank, and this was a first for her. She hadn't written a thing down. She couldn't remember anything that anyone said. However, she told us, "Oh my gosh, for the first time in a long time, I feel so much better. My body feels light and clear. I feel great, but I can't describe to you what anybody said or what was done." And the eureka went off in her, you know, above her, like the light bulb above her head, and she realized that for the first time she hadn't sat there and analyzed everything, ran all the information through her mental, analytical, to verify if this was right or if this was wrong. She was simply in a grounded, quiet, receptive state, and that made the change for her.
Yes, and that's beautiful. You know, in getting what I was working my way around to was getting an individual to take this chatter and change the chatter to help calm their mind. In other words, if someone is so anchored in their analytical mind, if I can change what it is that they're focused on in their analytical mind, if I can at least begin that process, then they can begin to affect a positive change enough so that the self-love begins to filter in enough so that the next stage is them relaxing a little bit and perhaps getting to that point where you had them. But of course, they're surrounded by love in your class. They're surrounded by support and by a lot of higher energies. And that does make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've also worked as a medical intuitive,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Now, so that's a very powerful statement. And as a medical intuitive, if you discover something, how do you translate that to your clients, somebody who may be resistant to the technology of intuition?
May I give you a little bit of history on my being a medical intuitive?
Sure.
Okay. I started in the 1977, actually working in a medical clinic, alternative medicine clinic, as a meditation instructor and an intuitive. The term medical intuitive had not been coined at that time. It actually wasn't coined until 1984 by Dr. Norman Shealy. And in that medical clinic, the physician, he was a neurologist. When he had patients who were not responding to his alternative treatment, and he also did allopathic treatment, he would have them see me for a session. And there was a woman who, so first of all, they were willing to sit in front of me and have me as an intuitive do a body scan on them. There was a woman who I was sitting with, and the physician was there as well, he as the clinic director. And when I scanned her body, I saw that that her reproductive system looked as though it was not healthy. And I actually saw images of bleeding, uterine bleeding, and that sort of thing. And the medical physician said, you know, he had been running tests on her because she had been coming in not feeling well, and nothing was showing up from that particular system. So there wasn't anything that could that he could collaborate on a medical level with what I was scanning. So 2 weeks later, she came back into the office, and she had uterine bleeding. So at this has been my observation many times. Is that physical illness shows up on a subtle level before it shows up on a physical level.
Yes.
So oftentimes when a medical intuitive does a scan and there's nothing to collect to correct to confirm the medical scan, then it's denied. However, if one keeps, you know, checking back, they may find that eventually that illness or that disease will show up on a body level.
Boy, and boy, we're getting close to our time. It happened so quickly on this show. I want to emphasize something that you just brought forward that was so powerful, Francesca, and that is that the idea of illness, just like the idea of goodness and well-being, happens first in the, if you want to, the astral planes or the mental bodies, the subtle bodies, before it affects the physical bodies. And so the ability to see that, to read that, would have to happen in the subtle bodies. And of course, sometimes we can intuit things that are already present, but again, it's being read off the subtle bodies. So having that knowledge, I just want to invite my listeners that the idea of intuition or intuitive medicine or an intuitive, a medical intuitive, is something very powerful that needs to be, that I invite you to explore a little bit further. And when we have an opportunity, I'd love to have Francesca back and just talk about this one field, because I find it very important. And as it is, I've got about a minute and a half, Francesca. You got one more thing to say for us, for our listeners. And for those, by the way, her email address is Francesca, FRANCESCA, at intuitionmedicine.org. You can look that up. It will also be on the archives and on my own webpage at the Garden of Light. Francesca?
Yes. Practicing meditation in whatever form is the practice of preventative medicine, because illness and disease starts first on a subtle body level. And meditation practice, whether it be prayer, chanting, affirmation, quiet mind, is the best preventative medicine that anyone can take as a daily dose.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your brilliant energy and time here. And I know we've just kind of got the ice cracked, but I want to tell you, all my listeners out there, that I love you. Please be well. Take care of yourself. You are worthy of love. You are safe. This is a beautiful expression of life that you are experiencing. I'll see you next week. This is Rodney Jean Jr. with an invitation to heal. Thank you, Francesca, for your time. Namaste.